Hello everybody, Osho Radio is back in the air. Today we started the program with music by Ravi, a number called Awakening. Further on in the program you will hear music by Deva Premal, Manos, Ashik, The Atmospheres, and Vedant Anando. Have a discourse from the Book of Wisdom. It's actually from the first volume, chapter 9, and it is an introduction on witnessing. Osho is talking about two different witnesses. The first witness is actually represented by the people that surround you. You like to have attention of others, but this creates self-consciousness. It gives you a center, but really it is a pseudo-center. In this discourse, Osho is explaining the difference between personality and individuality, two words which mean the same in all dictionaries, but in life one is false and the other one is true. Then there is a second kind of witnessing, and that is witnessing yourself. For this, you have to create some distance from the first kind of witnessing and allow everything that lives inside of you to be witnessed. Then the moment will come that you understand that consciousness can only arise from within you. And this, says Osho, is real freedom.
Thank you. There are two witnesses. One, the people that surround you. You are constantly aware that you are being watched, witnessed. It creates in you self-consciousness, hence the fear. When you are on the stage facing a big crowd, actors feel it, poets feel it, orators feel it. And not only the beginners, but even those who have wasted their whole life in acting, even when they come on the stage, a great trembling arises in them, a great fear whether they will be able to make it or not. So many eyes watching you. You are reduced into an object. You are no more a subjectivity. You have become a thing. And you are afraid because they may not appreciate you. They may not feed your ego. They may not like you. They may reject you. Now you are in their hands. You are reduced into a dependent, a slave. Now you have to work in such a way so that you can be appreciated. You have to buttress their egos, so in response you can hope they will buttress your ego. When you are with your friends, you are not so afraid. You know them. They are predictable. You depend on each other. But when you face the anonymous crowd, more fear arises. Your whole being starts trembling. Your whole ego is at stake. You can fail. Who knows? Your success is not guaranteed. This is the first kind of witness. Others are witnessing you, and you are just a beggar. This is the situation in which millions of people live. They live for others. Hence they only appear to live. They don't live in reality. They are always adjusting with others, because they are happy only if others are happy with them. They are compromising constantly. They are selling their souls. For a simple reason, so that their ego can be strengthened, so that they can become famous, well known. Have you observed something of immense value, that whenever a poet, a novelist, are a scientist gets a Nobel Prize, immediately after that his creativity declines? No Nobel laureate has been able to produce anything valuable. Compares to things that he had created before. What happens? Now you have attained the goal of the ego. There is no more to go. So there is no more to adjust with people. Once a book becomes famous, the author dies. That's what happened with Khalil Gibran's Prophet. That's what happened with Rabindranath's Gitanjali. And that is almost the rule, not the exception. Once you are famous, you stop compromising. For what? You are already famous. And when you stop compromising, people start neglecting, ignoring. And your whole creativity was rooted in the desire of the ego. Now the ego feels at rest. All creativity disappears. This is the situation in which 99.9% people live. You know only one kind of the witness, the other. And the other is always anxiety creating. Jean-Paul Sartre rightly says the other is hell. He does not allow you to relax. Why do you feel so relaxed in your bathroom, in your bathtub? Because the other is not there. But relaxing in your bathtub, if you suddenly become aware that somebody is looking at you through the keyhole, suddenly all relaxation disappears. You are again tense. You are being watched. To create fear in people, down the ages, the priests have been telling to you that God is constantly watching you. Constantly watching you, day in, day out. You may be asleep, He never sleeps. He goes on sitting by the bed and goes on watching. He not only watches you, He watches your dreams too. He watches your thoughts too. So you are not only going to be punished for your acts, but for your dreams, for your thoughts, desires, for your feelings. The priests created great fear in people. Just think, God watching continuously. No movement, not even a single movement is allowed so that you can be yourself. That was a great strategy to reduce people into things. Why we hanker for the attention of the others? Because as we are hollow. As we are not. As we don't have a center of being. We are just noise. A crowd. A house full of servants quarreling with each other because the master is absent or is fast asleep. We hanker for other people's attention so at least we can create a pseudo-center. If the real is missing, at least we can depend on a pseudo-center. It will give you an appearance of togetherness. It will make you a person. You are not an individual. Individuality is the fragrance of a really centered being, one who knows who he is. But if you are not an individual, then at least you can be a person. You can attain personality. And personality has to be bagged. Individuality is your innermost growth. It is a growth. You need not bag it from anybody else. And nobody can give it to you. Individuality is your unfoldment. But personality can be bagged. People can give it to you. In fact, only people can give it to you. If you are alone in the forest, you will not have any personality. Remember, you will have individuality, but no personality at all. If you are alone in the Himalayas, who you are? A saint or a sinner? There is nobody to appreciate or condemn. There is nobody to make you famous or notorious. There is nobody except yourself. In your total aloneness, who you are, a sinner or a saint? A very, very famous person, VVIP, are just a nobody. You are neither. You are neither a very, very important person, nor a nobody. Because for both, the other is a must. The eyes of others are needed to reflect your personality. You are neither this nor that. You are, but you are in your reality. You are not created by others. You are as you are in your utter nudeness, authenticity. This is one of the reasons why many people thought it wise to escape from the society. It was not really to escape from the society. It was not really against society. It was just an effort to renounce the personality. Buddha left his palace. He is not a coward. and he is not an escapist. Why he left the palace? Rabindranath has written a beautiful poem about it. He left the palace. For 12 years he roamed into the forests, practiced, meditated, and the day of ultimate rejoicing came. He became enlightened, and naturally the first thing that he remembered was that he had to go back to the palace to deliver the good news to the woman he had loved, to the child that he had left behind, to the old father who is still hoping that he will come back. It's so human. It touches the heart. After 12 years he returned back. The father was angry, as fathers are. The father could not see who he is, could not see what he has become, could not see his individuality, which were so loud and so clear. The whole world was becoming aware of it, but the father was blind. He was still thinking about him in terms of his personality. That is no more there. That he renounced the day he left the palace. In fact, he had to leave the palace just to renounce the personality. He wanted to know himself as he is, not what about what others think about him. But the father was looking into his face with the eyes which are 12 years old. He again said to Buddha that, "I am your father, I love you. Although you have hurt me deeply, you have wounded me deeply, and I am an old man. And these 12 years have been a torture, and you are my only son. I have somehow tried to live so that you can come back. Now you are back. Take charge of the empire. Be the king. Now let me rest. It is time for me to rest. Although you have committed a sin against me, you have been almost murderous towards me, but I forgive you, and my doors are still open." Buddha laughed. He said, "Sir, be a little more aware with whom you are talking. The man who had left the palace is no more. He died long before. I am somebody else. Look at me." And the father was still more angry. He said, "You want to deceive me? I don't know you. I know you more than you know yourself. I am your father. I have given birth to you. In your blood, my blood circulates. And I don't know you. Buddha said, still I praises. You have certainly given birth to me. I came through you. That's true, but you were only a vehicle. And just because somebody has come riding on a horse, it does not mean that the horse knows the rider. I have passed through the doors of your body. That does not mean that you know me. In fact, 12 years before, even I did not know who am I. Now I know. Look into my eyes. Please forget the past. Be here now. But the father is incapable. His old eyes, full of tears of anger and joy, he cannot see what has happened to Buddha, what nonsense he is talking about, that he has died and he is reborn, that he is totally a different individuality, that he is no more a personality, that he is an individuality. In the dictionaries, the personality and the individuality are synonyms. They are not synonymous in life. Personality is false, a pretension, a facade. Individuality is your truth. Why we hanker? Why we want many, many people to give attention to us, to create personality? And the more personality you create around yourself, the less is the possibility of knowing your individuality. And when Buddha went to see his wife, she was even more angry. She asked only one question, very significant. She said, I have only one question to ask you. I have waited for these years. Only one question. The question is simple. Be honest. She still thinks that Buddha can be dishonest. Be honest, be true. Just tell me one thing. Whatever you have attained in the forest, was it impossible to attain here in the palace? Is God only in the forest and not here in the marketplace? Her question is of tremendous significance. Buddha says, yes, the truth is as much here as it is there. But it would have been very difficult for me to know it here, because I was lost into a personality, the personality of the prince, the personality of a husband, the personality of a father, the personality of a son, the personality was too much. I had never left the palace really. I were only leaving my personality behind. So there is nobody to remind me who am I. And I can ask the question, who am I? On my own. I wanted to encounter myself. I was not interested in others' answers, but everybody else is interested in others' answers. Personality is a showpiece. It can deceive others, but it cannot deceive you, at least not for long. The day you enjoy your individuality, you are free. Free from the dependence on others. To ask for their attention, you have to pay for it in return. It is a bondage. The more you ask people to be attentive towards you, the more you are becoming a thing, a commodity, which can be sold, purchased. That's what happened to all public figures, to politicians, to showbiz people. This is one kind of witnessing. You want to be witnessed. It gives you respectability. And in order to have respectability, you will have to create character, morality. But all that character and all that morality is just hypocrisy. You create it with a motivation so that others can be attracted towards you. If you want respectability, you will have to be a conformist. You will have to be obedient to the society and its demands. You will have to live according to wrong values, because the society consists of people who are fast asleep. Their values cannot be right values. Yes, but one thing is there, you can become a saint. That's how your thousands of saints are. They have sacrificed everything at the altar of respectability. They have tortured themselves. They have been suicidal. But one thing they have gained, they have become saints. People worship them. If you want that kind of worship, respectability, sainthood, then you will become more and more false, more and more pseudo, more and more plastic. You will never be a real rose. And that is the greatest calamity in life that can happen to a man. To be a plastic rose and not to be a real rose. The second kind of witnessing is totally different. Just the polar opposite. It is not that you hanker for others' attention. On the contrary, you start paying attention to yourself. You become a witness to your own being. You start watching your thoughts, desires, dreams, motives, greeds, jealousies. You create a kind of new awareness within you. You become a center, a silent center which goes on watching whatsoever is happening. You are angry and you watch it. You are not just angry. A new element is introduced in it. You are watching it. And the miracle. If you can watch the anger disappears without being repressed. The first kind of saint will have to repress it. He will have to repress his sexuality. he will have to repress his greed. And the more you repress anything, the deeper it goes in your unconscious. It becomes part of your basement, and it starts affecting your life from there. It is like a wound oozing with pus, but you have covered it. Just by covering it, you don't become healthy. It does not heal. In fact, by covering it, you are helping it to grow more and more. Your sins stink of all kinds of repressions. The second kind of witnessing created a totally different kind of person. It creates the sage. The sage is one who knows who he is, not according to others. The sage is one who lives a life according to his own nature, not according to others' values. He has his own vision and the courage to live it. The sage is rebellious. The saint is obedient, orthodox, conventional, traditional, conformist. The sage is non-conformist, non-traditional, non-conventional, rebellious. Rebellion is the very taste of his being. He is not dependent on others. He knows what freedom is, and he knows the joys of freedom. The saint will be followed by a big crowd. The sage will have only chosen people who will be able to understand him. The sage will be misunderstood by the masses. The saint will be worshipped. The sage will be condemned by the masses. Maybe even murders. Jesus is crucified and the Pope is worshipped. Jesus is a sage and the Pope is a saint. The saint has character and the sage has consciousness. And there is a tremendous difference. They are as distinct as earth and the sky. Character is imposed for some ulterior motives, to gain respectability in this world and to have more and more heavenly pleasures. Consciousness has no future, no motivation. It is a joy unto itself. It is not a means to some end. It is an end unto itself. Mm-hmm.
meditation for today, it's called Awareness is Meditation. Remember one thing, meditation means awareness. Whatsoever you do with awareness is meditation. Action is not the question, but the quality that you bring to your action. Walking can be a meditation if you walk alertly. Sitting can be a meditation if you sit alertly. Listening to the birds can be a meditation if you listen with awareness. Just listening to the inner noise of your mind can be a meditation also, if you remain alert and watchful. The whole point is, one should not move in sleep. Then, whatsoever you do is meditation. We are coming to the end of the program. Thank you very much for listening. Have a happy week, everybody. Take care and namaste. We will be back with you next week.